Yeah, so
So do now we have to talk half an hour. When is this recording machine, Mina? About topics.
Shall we start with our works in this Museum in the Streets exhibition?
Yes, okay.
So
For example, I will ask you a question. No, I will ask you a question. Like how you would explain difference between this year map what you did in Ljubljana and with Zagreb and Istanbul?
Yeah, so
Very simply, but
so I've also made a similar kind of work than this work in Istanbul in 2005 and in Zagreb in 2006. And the Istanbul one, it's completely about personal relations within this art system. So it's about this, how there is not actually so much professional activity, so
yeah.
the personal is replacing that. And so it's about gossips and about this kind of conflicts between people. And the Zagreb one is completely about professional relations and power relations. And who has the power in the art scene. But the Ljubljana one is something in between. It's there are very many personal relations, and then the professional.
It feels a little bit strange, but okay. I mean, it feels a little bit strange this way of talking. Because we talk non-stop, 24 hours, about all these things. I think of the Istanbul map, for example, very well. It shows how. It shows well that there is no scene in Istanbul, contemporary. I mean, there is not contemporary art cities. You make me laughing, you know. Stop it. It means that there is no contemporary art scene in Istanbul. Okay, I will explain like this. Because it is quite a new invented cultural field, contemporary art in Istanbul, yes. Like, when was the first video arts or contemporary art made? In the beginning of 90s. So we are talking here about, of course, 80s too, but they were very provincial. They were not still international. They were not, how to say, recognized by the international curators. So we are talking here about tradition of the contemporary art, which is like 15 years. And then still doesn't have this, how to say, structures, forms of kind of cultural practice. And because of that, people are non-stop talking to fill this gap, to fill this emptiness, this lack. People are gossiping. People are talking very personal things. You know, there is no ideology, there is no strict ideology even defined about who is in which side, who is, I mean, ideologically, not even. There is no manifesto, of course. But even that not ideology situation, I mean, you don't even know what. Rarely you know what some artist is standing for. Maybe now it's a little bit crystallizing, becoming more clear. And then there is all the gossips, you know, all kind of like, like, look what he did, look what she did, she is like that, she slept with him, he is hating him, he stole it from him. So these kind of things are filling this gap, I think. And your map is very well showing that. That all the artists, almost all the artists, about gossip.
Yeah, exactly. It's true. And then
For
when
example, there is this nice gesture of Aydan Murtazaoğlu who refused to participate in Venice Biennial last year because she didn't want to represent Turkey when Turkey is in such a fascistic, militaristic, nationalistic, xenophobic state of politics. So she refused, she didn't participate.
Yeah.
But then there was no talk. There was no talk. There was just this kind of talks. Haydan refused. You know, this kind of private talks. Like, all gossip level.
Yeah.
But no, like, for, discussing in magazines, in articles. But when Halil Tenger opened her exhibition in Yapı Kredi, and somebody found out that it was similar, that Ilya Kabakov also made this, then there was a lot of discussions. Why? Because it's gossip.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
And apolitical.
Yeah, it's apolitical.
So we go to Zagreb now. In Zagreb, you now have to tell.
Yeah, so the Zagreb drawing is actually about who is kind of, who has the power in the art scene.
Mm-hmm.
Who is deciding about the art scene, like who is deciding like what becomes successful or what becomes international or so. And as I was there for 2 months, I thought that it was the this NGO scene, and especially this there was this kind of group of NGOs under this name Zagreb Cultural Capital 3000.
Yeah.
And because they are working with this kind of European model of flexible, stylish, very stylish catalogs, collaborative
projects,
these kind of things, and they are very good in getting funding from the European Union,
mm-hmm.
and then there's the old kind of museums and institutions like the Art Academy too, which are very still kind of working with the social structure, kind of rigid, not flexible, corrupt, hierarchical.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this clash between these, but and then the individual artists, most of them, they are really kind of somewhere completely outside of this these power relations, and just doing their work and kind of not participating.
True.
Yeah, so it was about that.
I am thinking, like, for example, what I wrote in the article in your essay in your catalog about Zagreb exhibition, Zagreb map, is that all these kind of organizations, they are mostly NGOs, non-governmental organizations, are very much collaborative. Even so much they are collaborating that it was suspicious for me. Suspicious in the way, how can one anarchist group collaborate in one contemporary art center and one dance group which is left-oriented can collaborate, which is some avant-garde group which is not so left-oriented. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of like everything goes together, like Vejave, who made the exhibition on Communist Manifest, can collaborate with Platforma, who is very architectural-oriented.
And half-commercial also.
And half-commercial.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking, like, what is bringing these people together?
Yeah.
So, to find this, I thought maybe we have to look what is not in this group, what is not in this net. This
network. You mean what is excluded?
What is not, what is excluded, yeah, yeah. And I found one example, probably there are a lot more. It is Zdenko Franjić who is doing this List on August. He is actually the best thing to be the part of symbol of this culture mentality, because it's decentralizing, it's regional activities. I mean, he published albums from the Pančevo, from some village in Bosnia or whatever, not only, and a lot of villages, small cities, Bridget is from Croatia. He is do-it-yourself, DIY, alternative. He is self-sustainable economy, yes. He is producing, selling, and he has his own network. You know what I mean?
Mm.
But why he is not there is what I think. How he is not fitting well into this urban, European-oriented kind of anti-villager mentality. Why? Because he released such albums as Satan Panonski or others who are definitely not so well accepted by this, I say, Europe oriented. I don't want to caricaturize here the Europe oriented, like Europe oriented this art practices, culture practices, as like they are so political correct. Of course they are not so naive, but when you look at generally, they are fitting into this picture of Croatia wanted not to be turbo folk. Even there is a lot of, for example, even there is a lot of people of listening turbo folk. This is public secret in Croatia, like, because it comes from east, from Serbia, from Balkans.
Yeah,
they don't want to be part.
Like everybody's drinking Turkish coffee at home, but not in the cafeteria.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, maybe not. I would not say like that, but you say it like
that. I say it like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So okay, Ljubljana. Then we were here together. You were also here for 2 months, and. And actually what I was most interested in, which is not visible in this drawing, which is for the museum in the streets, but I had an exhibition in Kapelica in the end of my residency. It was in the end of June. It was a short exhibition, only for 1 week or so. And there I showed also other drawings, not just this kind of connection between people, how I saw it at the time, and all these relations, gossips also, and so, but also there was one drawing which was about this of the 80s alternative scene and punk scene, and how many members from that scene, like, where were they now, or like what were they involved in during the independence,
mm-hmm.
and where are they now, kind of this. But we were in Tuzla, and Mitya was saying that it's really a mistake to connect the 80s alternative scene with Jansa, with this.
Yeah, because it is possible to connect, but it is kind of simplifying to connect. Why?
Mm.
Because this is theory that this alternative scene opened some new space, some counter space, or what to say, and then the civil society just jumped to it, you know, and became like democratic society, this, and then lead even to independence.
Yeah.
But for this exhibition where you are having a map, I wrote a kind of cut article, which has nothing to do with art, but I wrote an article called Punk of Politics, and it is reference to one article of Gregor Thompson, 94, Politics of Punk, which I found very problematic, very apolitical article, even anti-communist article, and which very nationalist kind of elements. So I wrote an article which is dealing with this connection of politics, independence, punk, alternative scene, civil society in the beginning of 80s, which led until independence, yes. And my subtitle of my article is called How Did Srećo Kirn Change His Mind on Punk? Here I am using Srećo Kirn as one leitmotif, to one episode in the punk history. In beginning of 80s, when Sreća was a young but high functionary of the League of Socialist Youth, some chief of police visited him, chief of police of Slovenia visited him, proving with some documents that punk in Slovenia is very nationalist phenomenon. It's almost like Nazi punks. And already was in this Nazi punk affair in Slovenia, so it was this ambiguous situation. And he immediately, with this affect, wrote an article condemning punk as a nationalist, as anti-communist, this and that. And he, that same day, night of that same day, he went to Tomas Mašnak's house, where there was Igor Bavčar, and he read his article. And then Tomas Mašnak especially said him things that make Srećo, he says, so Srećo changed his mind on punk. So my thing is that in Srećo's article we don't have this. What was Tomas Mašnak's arguments? And what I did is I looked two articles of Tomas Mašnak. One is from 87, it's called The Reasons of Repressions, a very nice article. And it is an article about how the alternative scene was recuperated to civil society and through led to independence, it is not yet independence in 87. And then also I look to his little then 90 what article which he wrote in 94, from civil society to national sovereignty. So I, within these two articles, I try to understand what was the arguments of Tomas Mašnak that Srećo Kin changed his mind.
Yeah.
Because for me was this phenomenon, how you can in one day change your ideas from one extreme to another extreme. This, what was called, conversion.
Convert. Yeah.
How you convert from anti-punk to punk. You
to
know,
pro-punk.
in such a short time. For me, that was suspicious.
But what's your guess? What did he say? What did Mašnak say to Kirp?
Huh. I mean, in article I developed kind of. It's a little bit complicated now. People will read an article, but you know, it's very. Now I have to go to all the theories of Tomas Mašnak. I don't want to caricaturize the thesis.
But it's very interesting how in Slovenia, so many intellectuals were involved in punk,
yeah,
writing about it,
yeah,
taking part in symposiums,
yeah,
talking about it.
That's very interesting. But now then I was making one simple calculation. So punk appeared, let's say 78, and then already in 80s there was punk problemi, 81 82 83, at least years. So I make calculation, who was the editors of punk problemi and who was talking about punks in this year about, among intellectuals. It was Rastko Močnik, Rado Riha, let's say Mladen Dolar, Slavoj Žižek, these things. And when I see when they born, they are 43, 45, 47. So in 77, 78, they were 30 years, 35. So I just think, is it possible one intellectual who already finished his dissertation, who kind of had this musical taste, and which I guess it was some jazz, maybe classical music, some progressive psychedelic, start to listen punk? So did these people listen punk in that time? And I think they were not, and it doesn't matter. Punk was not like a musical phenomenon for them. Punk was more kind of this anger, negativity, and even I think this anti-humanism, which because those intellectuals were influenced by the Lee Altisser, who was this anti-humanist. So this non-humanism of punk and this Altisser theory somehow is similar, I guess, but this is just kind of have to say, sketches of the thesis. This has to be.
So they were too old for punk.
They were too old for punk, definitely. I don't think they were listening to punk. You know? I mean, this is task of maybe some future research, which I would like to do, to ask to these people what you were listening. But I will not expect them to say that they were listening. Forget Clash or Sex Pistols, but not Crass or all this kind of things. Or Dead Kennedys, I don't think so. And what I wanted to say something, let me say simple one thing, very simple thesis. Look at Žižek, he can talk cynically about many things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he can talk how actually this Sarkozy is a product of May 68, so criticizing 68, about how Stalin can be democratizing, how, I don't know, in some interviews even Milosevic was modernizing Serbia, all kind of things, you know?
Mm.
But he never talks positively about one thing, which is New Age philosophy. Like, look at in all his interviews, articles, whenever mentioning, he can be like really this kind of cynical, not stand, postmodern, you know, things. But look at whenever in text, in his interviews, mentioned hippism, New Age, mysticism is like disgusting. Like, he has there kind of this modernist, total negation stand. This, I think, comes from this punk, negative, this aspect.
Yeah.
That's even maybe like this very simple. Okay, I think it's enough. Or do you want to sing a song? Huh?
Let's sing together.